Hebrews 2 and 4. We said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and it's profitable for teaching. Then it's profitable for reproof. The word reproof is the word evidence. What else? It's profitable for instruction, for correction. And then instruction in righteousness. Now it is instruction to be righteous. It says instruction in righteousness. That is, there is righteousness, so it instructs you in righteousness. It says that the man of God may be perfect. What perfect there is mature, truly furnished unto all good works. Verse 15 here said, the former child that was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ. Amen. So we said that the scriptures speak for itself. You don't look for evidence of the scriptures outside the scriptures. Listen now. How do we accept what the scriptures say? We accept what the scriptures say by faith. Praise the Lord. See that? By faith. We believe. We believe what the scriptures teach. That's why it's always dangerous to begin to exchange your experiences with the teaching of scripture. I know the Bible says this, but really, I saw this. Sometimes you don't have answers. Doesn't mean there are no answers. Praise God. Scriptures testify of itself what it says. And there is no other way you can know God outside the scriptures. You there? Praise the Lord. There is no other way you can know God outside the scriptures. So, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4, we began to look at the subject of salvation. This is your first time, you really miss a whole lot. I'll just advise you, if you've missed out after the service, you could just go to the Living Word stand and get a hold of these materials and listen to them. This is part 3 of a 3-series teaching on salvation that began some 3-4 years ago. Praise the Lord. So you lay your hands on them and you get all the answers you probably are looking for in 1 will be in 2, in 2 will be in 3. In the case there's some in 3, wait for 4. Praise the Lord. Alright, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. The original interpretation of that verse is, lest at any time we should drift away. Truth doesn't sleep, you drift from truth. Is that clear? Truth, because truth doesn't change. So truth doesn't change, truth cannot drift. You can only drift from the truth. Okay? So it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the word, that's the Old Testament, that's the law. Galatians 3:19, Acts 7:53, because the law was given by angels. Okay? Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What does he call it? So great salvation. That's why Peter will say in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, that the things that Paul is teaching about salvation, which he calls the long-suffering of the Lord, is some things that just had to be understood. Because he calls it so great. The writer of the Hebrews here calls it so great. Now, so great is what? So great. That's very great salvation. Praise the Lord. Which are the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Praise the Lord. Let's just go over some things we've said so far. Salvation is the work of the Savior, not the saved. The saved receive the work of the Savior. You see, if many people understand this fundamental truth about salvation, they will have cleared many hurdles that is on their mind. The Savior is not the believer. The Savior is God. Man is not the Savior. In Jonah 2:9, he says, salvation is of the Lord. The Hebrew says salvation comes from the Lord. That's the way it is. That is, he talks about salvation comes from Yahweh. That's what it says in Hebrew. It's the work of God. So God is the Savior through His Son Jesus. You are the receiver of salvation. Still there? And we saw that man had not a single contribution to salvation. The only contribution to man, of man to salvation is sin. Praise the Lord. Still there? Man's only contribution to the work of salvation. When you say, what is man's contribution? What has man done in this work? He sinned. Praise the Lord. That's the only work that man has in the work of salvation. Anyway, that already shows that man didn't save himself because he's the sinner there. God's the Savior. Hallelujah. Still there? All right, good. So, we said that before. Now, we also were able to look at three things about salvation called the tenses of salvation. Now, the epistles major on one. The other priority when you look at salvation, the epistles, you find the past tense of salvation is taught primarily. Right? Then the present tense work of salvation is also taught. But in other priorities, after the past tense of salvation, then the future tense of salvation is likewise emphasized, but lesser than the first two I mentioned. Praise the Lord. Still there? Alright. So, we must know, you know, this tense. So we've looked at the past tense of salvation, what Jesus has done, and what we have received, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. Hallelujah. What is it? What's the edit? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, if you back up to verse 4, about verse 1, it was discussing righteousness. So I say, okay, but it's talking righteousness, and I told you, righteousness is salvation. To be declared right before the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, before God through the Lord Jesus is salvation. Adoption of sons is salvation. So all those concepts are to explain the greatness of the Savior's love towards us. So that's the concept there now. Look at it. Hey, what's the idea? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession, that is to believe and say, is made unto salvation. It says verse 11, for the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. What is it? Whosoever. Whosoever. All right. What is whosoever? Thank you. Whosoever is whosoever. Some people believe that salvation is not for everybody. And I was humoring one of them last night. And I said, alright, let's assume it's not for everybody. Alright, so let's re-quote the scriptures. I said, now Jesus says, for instance, he says, when he says, ask and you shall receive, he says, and I said, right, some of you shall ask and you shall receive. Some of you shall seek and you shall find. Some of you shall knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Praise the Lord. That's how, no. Now, some of you shall say unto this mountain, or say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if some of you shall believe, you shall not perish, but you shall have everlasting life. Some of you, not all of you. The guy said, no, I didn't mean it like that. I said, well, that's what you mean. If God will say he has a preference, then he will not use whosoever. He will be specific. If some of you will believe, go into all the world, preach the gospel to some of the creatures. Some of them shall believe, and they shall never perish. And then that son shall have everlasting life. If it looks ridiculous to you, it's as ridiculous as you saying that Jesus didn't die for everybody. He died for some. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? 2 Corinthians 5:18. God, all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling some of you to himself. Looks ridiculous, isn't it? Because it cannot be. It can't be some of you, because Jesus died for everybody. So if the death is for everybody, the call is for everybody. Praise the Lord. Of course, not everybody will be saved. As we're speaking now, some are already condemned. John 3:17. But God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He said, he that believes is not condemned. But see, he that believes not is already condemned because he has not believed the Son of God. That's why he's condemned. Praise the Lord. So, there is no selective salvation in Christ Jesus. Salvation is for everybody, but it's not received by everybody. Praise the Lord. Still there? All right. So we said, now, in verse 13, it says, let's say 12. And there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thought he would have said, if some of you shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever. Whosoever is whosoever. All right? So Romans 5. So that's salvation. The tense of salvation in the past. Say, I am saved. All right, so that refers to you're saved from what? You're saved from condemnation, because there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans 8:1. What are you saved from? Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? You read from 28. It says that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It says, to whom he did foreknow, to them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, it says, to whom he did predestinate, to them that he called. To them he called, he justified. Was he justified? He said, he glorified. Amen. What shall we say then to these things, said one? If God be for us, who shall be against us? If he did not, God didn't spare his own Son, and freely gave him up for all souls, shall he not with him give us up all things? That's what he says. So who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifies. Praise the Lord. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Nobody. So that's salvation. So salvation means that you are saved from the consequences of sin. Judgment of sin. John 5:24. He that believes in my word shall not come to judgment, because he is passed from death to life. Say, I don't come to judgment. Oh, you don't get that. I don't come to judgment. I'm passed from death to life. That's salvation in the past. You are now alive under God. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Who was he quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins? It says you walk according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the tree of disobedience, and one whom we all had our conversion time past, fulfilling, it says, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, the great love wherewith he has loved us, by grace are you saved. He said, he has quickened us together with Christ and has made us, verse 6, to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. See that now? So that means that has happened. You are seated in Christ. You are now in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should bestow upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:26, and all of you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4:4. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord. That's what the Word Bible teaches us. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit of sin bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. We will not be the children of God. We are the children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Don't you say, I'm the children of God? That'll be too high for you. I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord. Excellent. So, that's in the past. But there's a present work of salvation, which we can say salvation in the present tense. An ongoing work of salvation. And that's what James was talking about. James 2, remember, we made that distinction. James 2 and Romans 4. I don't know if you can remember that. Let me see. Huh? James 2. Ah, faith without works is dead. Abraham justified by faith alone. Let me see, huh, if you got that day. So we said those were the works of faith, or better say, the works of salvation. Praise the Lord. The works of righteousness. Abraham was already declared righteous before he gave Isaac. He didn't give Isaac to be declared righteous. That would be righteousness by works. So James is saying Abraham gave Isaac to prove and to show his righteousness with God. But he didn't give Isaac to become righteous. Prove just means to show it. So our works don't save us, but our works show we're saved. Did I say that again? Works don't save us, but works show that we're saved. Hallelujah. Feel that? That's a present work of salvation. And therefore, Romans 5. After telling you verse 8 that God commended his love towards us, Romans 5:8, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us, verse 9, much more than now being justified, watch this, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That word we shall actually in the, it means we shall be saved. That's a future tense. Now look at 10. For if then when we were enemies, we were, watch this, reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. Now, the verse 10 is a present tense continuous. We are being saved by his life. Now, life is a vital thing. That means by the life of God in us, we are being saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved now not from the consequences of sin, but now saved from the power and effect of sin. So sin has no dominion over us, because why? Romans 6:14, we are dead to sin and alive unto God in our spirit. Hallelujah. See that? So that's an ongoing work of salvation, but that is not what saves. What saves is the blood of Jesus and what he has done once and for all for us and forever. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6, I want us to pick some verses so you understand the tenses again. Romans 6. In Romans 6, it says to us, what shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? When some illiterates read this verse, I just keep laughing because they have no pretext and posttext of what he's saying. He just told you in verse 21 of chapter 5 that sin reigned unto death, even so my grace went through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He said that to you. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That is not a question that's rhetorical. That is a question that has its own answer. He says, God forbid. How will God forbid? There's some people say, God forbid, like, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Like, God frowns at that. Like, God forbid. Like, God forbid bad things. You know that thing? God forbid bad things. Ah. Like, God will not allow it. God won't take it. Like, God won't, like, God will accept it. God will fight back. Something like that. You know, in our mind. So, because, you know, God forbid in Nigeria, like, God forbid. You know that thing? So we think, God forbid. But you should just understand, this is Bible, this is not a magazine, amen? So when it says, God forbid, then he answers you. How shall we that are dead to sin live there longer? That is, we're already dead to sin. That God has made it impossible for us to continue in sin. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. If he has said, we forbid, but he said, God forbid. Why? Because we're already dead to sin, or I was free from it, praise God. Right? It says, how can we live there? No longer there. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized unto his death?
Praise the Lord. Therefore, we are, I said, praise the Lord. Thank you. We are buried with him by baptism unto death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. So he says that if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, identification. So he says, knowing this, that what? Our old man was what? Was crucified. Huh? Died. To be put to death. So our old man was put to death by what? With Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So the body of sin is destroyed, and henceforth we shall serve no sin. So look at that 7. He that is dead is what? Huh? Now, did we die with Christ? So are we free from sin? Do you understand the context now? So God forbid, that's what God forbid means. Praise the Lord. Knowing this, therefore, he says, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing this, knowing that sin, that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and that he lives unto God. Likewise, look at that. Because of this, likewise, what is reckon? What does it mean to reckon? Huh? Treat us, alright? Think this way. Act this way. In other words, acknowledge this fact. So, it says, therefore, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed. Unto sin. Was indeed. Truly. So, the Christian life will be to give acknowledgement to what Jesus has done for us. See, I'm dead to sin. Now, are you dead to sin because of what you're saying? No. You are saying what you're saying because you're dead to sin. You get that? Praise the Lord. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge something? Huh? To state a fact, not necessarily. To what? To accept something? Correct? Now, did you influence the fact? Huh? Or did you just endorsed it? Right? So it says, endorse this fact about you. In other words, agree with it. Praise the Lord. What do you agree with? Agree that you are dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now, when you agree with that, then verse 12 happens. Let not sin therefore reign where? In your mortal body, that you should obey it in the laws thereof. That's the ongoing work of salvation. Now, Jesus has died and you've died with him to sin. You're alive unto God. Now, it's time to allow that work have its work in your life. So he says, therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the laws thereof. Neither. Now, don't forget. Listen carefully. Now, let me tell you Bible sequence and language and interpretation. Now, if you had opened this verse with verse 12, then it's trying to tell you that when you don't allow sin to reign in your mortal body, then you are dead to sin. That is, you know, it will have put one as a condition for the other. But it put the condition of not allowing sin reign in your mortal body as the fact that you are dead to sin. So the condition is not, let not, if you don't let sin reign in your mortal body, then you are dead to sin. He didn't say that. He says, you are dead to sin and alive unto God, therefore. Hello, church? You together? Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, he didn't say, because you will not let sin reign in your mortal body, then Jesus will make you free from sin. And that's nothing, that's no glory to Jesus. So the glory of Jesus is that you are dead to sin and alive. That's why when Christians say, well, I don't know, I can't stop it, I don't know what's that. I know they're lying. Because you're lying. If you can stop sin, then you're not a Christian. You actually can't stop sin because you're a Christian. Praise the Lord. Who is a Christian? You are dead to sin and you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Neither yield you your members. Members always refer, Messiah and Bible, to your mortal body, your physical body, your mind,
Your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, alright? It says, yield not your thoughts, your emotions, your mind as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, allow the power of the Spirit, the power of life that is working in you right now to influence your thoughts, your emotions, and so on and so forth, that yield you to sin. So what he's saying in other words was, you are saved from sin. You're going to walk in the light of that salvation now. But walking is not what saves. Salvation is what makes you walk. Let me see if you understand that clear. Is that clear? So that's the present work of salvation. Now let me just go briefly to the future work of salvation. Now, in the past tense of salvation, we receive. In the present tense of salvation, we cooperate. In the future work of salvation, again, we receive. In the future work of salvation, it deals with the mortal body. If you observe again, in Romans 6, the challenge was with the physical body, not just the physical body. Actually, you discover it talks about your instruments of the instruments of your members. That's your mind and your emotions. But it's a future work of salvation. Now, I'm going to show you a portion of scripture briefly. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talked about a brother who was living in sin. Now, the problem was not the brother was sinning. The issue was he was living an open sin, and he had no sense of remorse or repentance about it. And that is not a godly life. A Christian will always have remorse and repentance about sin. And so Paul then writes to the church, because he wasn't there, he just heard about it, that the community knew that this believer was staying with his father's wife. Obviously, that's not his mother. Amen. Which his father had many wives, so he just can't be like his dad. So he didn't have his father's wife. And the whole street knew about it, and probably was going around saying he's once saved and forever saved, so he can live any way that he likes. And Paul says, no, you can't live the way you like. And Paul says, I will therefore declare, I'm not here in church, but I'm in Tulsa, amen. I will say, I'm absent in the body, present in the spirit, that would declare such one, you know, we deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of, now people have thought of his flesh. If he had said for the destruction of his flesh, he will have meant two things. He will have meant one, either two things. 1 Corinthians 5, you can turn there quickly. He will have meant destruction of his physical body. And listen to me, that's not New Testament, right? The New Testament is a ministry of life. It doesn't minister death. Praise the Lord. Still there? 1 Corinthians 3 shows you that. Old Testament ministers death. Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation of the law in Christ Jesus, but the law of the Spirit of life as through Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament is the law of sin and death. The New Covenant is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Alright, so Paul says, for the destruction of, he didn't say his flesh. If he had said his flesh and he referred to physical body, what would that mean? That would mean that Satan, go kill this brother. Now, if you check later on in chapter 2, Paul referred to that brother that he was welcomed back in the fellowship. All right. So he wasn't asking him to kill him. All right. All right. For the destruction of the flesh. Now, when you hear the flesh, it means what? Carnality. Sin. So what is he saying? Deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 5. Just quickly say something. That the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, I had a challenge with this verse for a while until I got that the word may there can be interchanged with the word is. That is saved. That is a definite fact because the Spirit is saved in the day of the Lord. So, the flesh is not his own. Talking about the dominion of sin in his life will be destroyed. What is it to do for him? He said, they should not fellowship with him. Don't eat with him. Don't allow him into fellowship meetings. Let him know that what he's doing is wrong. Judge yourself, that you be not judged. That is, let the world know that that conduct is not of God. So separate the brother, distinguish yourself from. That's the word there, diakrino, to make, to separate, right, between two things. So he therefore said to them, you know, that's what we call excommunication. Let the brother leave fellowship for some time so that he will be sorry. So he will know that we don't endorse his conduct, okay? That's all. Praise the Lord. Not because he sinned. Well, Galatians 6:1 says, if a brother sins and is overcome by sin, restore him. But if a brother lives in rebellion, living in sin, don't, you're going to discipline him. So it disciplines the guy that is, the flesh will be destroyed. Alright? That is, that conduct, that action of sin will be destroyed over his life. And his spirit is saved in the day of the Lord because he's a Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. Still there? Alright, so, here we are. It said his spirit is saved in the day of the Lord. That salvation is in the future. In the day of the Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3 again, it talks about works. In verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3, shall declare, because a man shall be, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try what? Every man's work, of what sort it is. Every man's work. Work will mean work, nothing more than work. Now don't forget, whose work is salvation? Huh? Whose work is salvation? Now the word fire there is the word judgment. So it didn't say God shall try his own work. Amen. If God needs to try his own work, he'll make it 100%. He's the trier and he's the worker. Amen. He's the one that says. So he says his work, alright, verse 13, 14. If a man's work shall abide, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He, the man, shall suffer loss. Not the loss of his salvation, but he himself, very definitely, shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What do you mean by fire? Judgment. That is, Jesus' judgment saves the man. Because he told you in chapter 5, verse 5, verse 7, that Christ is your Passover. Passover means judgment, Passover. So he is saved by Jesus, your Passover, our Passover. But his works are not covered by the Passover. His works will be tried by fire, but the day of the Lord, that's the judgment seat of Christ. So that is salvation in the future. So we're saved in the past, we're saved in the present, we're being saved in the present, we're saved in the future. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. That buttons what we said earlier. It says, and for we must all appear, talking about Christians now, before the judgment seat of Christ, not the whole world, because he told you in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 and 3, of 1 Corinthians, that the saints shall judge the world, the saints shall judge them angels, verse 2 and then 3. So he's not talking about you and the world being judged together. But 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says that, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment there is the word bema seat. Some of you probably spelled matbima, but bema is B-E-M-A, amen, bema. I've been spelling that word for years, but I don't know where your ears went up. But B-E-M-A, bema seat means reward seat. It's used for a podium where people, after running a race, receive a reward. That's not for salvation, because salvation, again, is not a race. Amen. So he's talking about, you know, our ministry, our service for the Lord. We'll see that very soon. So he says, you shall receive the things done in the body. Now, it's not in your physical body, it's in the body of Christ. Right? Things you've done in the body of Christ, whether to, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So some guys will be at the judgment seat of Christ with bad stuff. A lot of bad stuff he did body of Christ, a lot of backbiting in church, amen. A lot of mudslinging, writing about pastors on Facebook, amen. Praise the Lord, making comments on churches and things you don't know. You know, a brother once said, they said, most churches are out of line. They're not in God's will. The money has taken over our churches. And I asked, how old are you? Then it was 24. I said, how many churches have you been to? He mentioned just about five. I said, five churches? Where? Lagos. Lagos probably has more churches than any other city in the world. You just be in the fire. Sorry, that's in Nigeria, sir. So, isn't that a judgmental decision or opinion? And by saying that, aren't you passing the wrong message to folks in the body of Christ? You'll be judged by for saying things like that. But if you repent, you'd rather be judged for your repentance. Your repentance will abide, because it's a good work. Alright? But if you do bad stuff, you let it go, you'll be judged for the bad stuff. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? Still there, church? Alright. But it's not the repentance that gets you saved. For some of you always come late to church. Things you've done in the body. Always come and lay in the church. And always come in the church with your phones always going on. Bam, bam. Using Facebook in the church. Status. Church things. I've been judged. You will be judged. Because you know it's wrong. Doing that either way. You're saved. We are not saved. Praise the Lord. In heaven, you will be judged for what you've done. Praise the Lord. So if you have not joined any department in the church, you will be judged for being what? An ex officio of the body of Christ. An ex officio? You know what ex officio is? You used to officiate. Praise the Lord. All the stuff don't be judged. Amen. Amen. Just quiet this morning. We're talking about believers' judgment. Every time I talk about judgment of the world, we're saying glory, 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 glory. Amen. Don't forget, it's your works that will be judged, not you. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are saved by the word of Jesus. Alright, so never forget the present work of salvation. Philippians 2:12. I trust the Lord. In coming years, the word of God will grow in this country. Amen. And we will give out the word. And I'm saying, I'm talking myself, and I'm talking about a lot of us, not just in this ministry now, but many places will give out the word of God to people. And people, once again, will have confidence in the scriptures. Because we get to a point in the body of Christ that I know that people are not clear anymore about the faith, because there's very little Bible interpretation and teaching for people to understand it. So people are just really confused, as we are today. Amen. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk for your own salvation. What version do you use? What do you say? No, it's walk for. Walk out means you're already saved. Alright? Walk out would mean what? Leaving your salvation. Correct? Leaving your salvation. Because you're already saved. Walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're stopped there, you'll be confused. But let's read verse 13 together. For it is who? Which walketh in you both to will and to do his own good pleasure. So God didn't just leave you to will. He's now walking on your will. Say, God is walking on my will. He's walking on your desires. As you're hearing God's word, God's walking on your desires. Because you're a child of God, is at work in you. God's at work in you to stop telling lies. He's at work in you to stop cheating. He's walking you to stop the sins of the flesh. Fornication, adultery. He's walking you. He's walking you to stop backbiting. Those are the nice ones. Those are the crazy ones who say, oh, but also I walking you to stop fear. He's walking you to walk in love and be kind. He's walking you to stop envy and to prepare someone above yourself. He's at work in you. Say, he's at work in me. Now, what work is that? That's the present work of salvation. You already saved, but you are being saved by walking in your salvation. Say, I walk in my salvation. I'm already saved, I'm walking in my salvation. So God at work in you is the Spirit of God at work in you. Because God gave His Spirit to us to live in us. Ephesians 1:13 says the Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation, the proof of our salvation. Ephesians 1:13 is the guarantee of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:22 is also the seal. When you had the word seal, Ephesians 1:13 is a proof of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:22. He gave us the earnest of the word earnest there again is the word proof or guarantee. Earnest. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Then 2 Corinthians 5 and 5. Same thing. The earnest of the Spirit. The guarantee. Someone say guarantee. Guarantee of the Spirit. So you got the guarantee of the Spirit. So Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So you have love. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. You have joy. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. You have long-suffering. Long-suffering is not suffering long. It's just long-suffering. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. That means you're gentle. Fruit of the Spirit is patience. That means you're patient. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. That means you're faithful. All right? So therefore, because you're faithful, you're going to walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. See that? So that is the walk of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Jesus in John 14:16 says, I'll give them another comforter, and he will abide with them forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, he says, you know him. There's no known because they see him not. You know him because he is with you and he will be in you. Verse 17. So the Spirit of God is in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God said, walk in me. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So you've got Christ in you. Romans 8:15. It says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can you say amen to that? All right, so get that clarity. So that's the present work of salvation. 1 John 2:20. It says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction from... Yeah, let's look at that briefly. Just something to share in there. 1 John 2:20. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. What's he talking about? Because he began to talk about the Antichrist. And he says in 19, he says, and they went out from among us, and they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. Now, I read someone write an article. He claimed he was a Christian. For years, he claimed that he was in church and stuff like that for many years. But he now says that he is doubting the existence of God. And then a brother asked me, he said, sir, what will this mean? I said, maybe he was never saved. How do I know? By what he's saying. Because believers believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10:39. John says, they went from among us, they didn't continue with us, continue in faith. Why? Because they were never of us. Sometimes, we always judge people by what they're doing, their numerous activities. Someone can be in the church, and can be doing many things. You know, Jesus in Matthew 7 says, some fool say they walk signs and wonders in my name, say the prophets in my name, say, well, I say, I never knew you, that means they were never saved. Hallelujah. They were never saved. He didn't say, I don't know you again. They never knew you. Never believed the gospel. And there are folks like that. I'm not judging that fellow. I'm just saying that that could just be the case. Because saving faith has a vital work in your life. God works you the will to do. So you can't have God working in you and you say there's no God. Amen. That's so easy to say. No problem about that. So he says, you have an unction from the Holy, you know all things. Look at 27. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, right? And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and his truth and his no lie, even as I taught you, you shall abide in him. Praise the Lord. Still there? All right. So the Spirit is referring to, I'm going to write so many things out. In Galatians 3, always realize, now, I've taught you this about many times. If you read a verse of scripture, for instance, in Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It said the Spirit lusts after the flesh, the flesh after the Spirit, you will not do whatever you want. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Alright, it says in verse 19, the works of the flesh are made manifest. And people have thought, what is it? I mean, they've created a doctrine out of that without understanding the concept he uses. Now, if I were you and I read the Spirit in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 and 17, and I read the whole in Galatians 5, 25, I will read the book of Galatians again. Because the Spirit will be, if I say the Spirit, that means you understand what I'm saying. If I say walk in a Spirit, that's an article that is not definite. Alright? But if I say walk in the Spirit, that means my audience already has an insight into the person or object I'm referring to. Praise the Lord. Because the word the is specific. So when I say walk in the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, then I need to find out what does Galatians talk about the Spirit. And I find out that in Galatians 3, look at this. Oh, foolish Galatians, thank God you are not one, at least to me, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set for crucified among you. Let's read two together. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit. So, you have received the Spirit. That's the first thing. Okay? Now, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? The word begun there means to be born in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So you have begun in the Spirit. So if he's talking about the Spirit, chapter 3 tells you who or what the Spirit is. If you don't know what he's talking about, at least you know what he's not talking about. Alright? You know he's talking about what you have received in Christ. Isn't that clear? Talk to me, George. Isn't that clear? You know what he has received in Christ. Galatians 4, we're talking about the Spirit. Alright? Look at Galatians 3 again. The Spirit. When you say the Spirit, what Spirit? Galatians 3 again. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Alright? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Let's read verse 14 together. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Have you received the promise of the Spirit? Through faith. So the Spirit. So Galatians 3, the Spirit. Galatians 3:13, the Spirit. Now Galatians 4. Verse 4. Let's take it together. Galatians 4, 4 to 6. Let's go. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So what has God done? So the Spirit in Galatians 3 is the Spirit of His Son. The Spirit of Christ. Into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So when it says, the fruit of the Spirit, that means the fruit of the Spirit that you have received. Correct? That's in the way you see Bible language, alright? The fruit of the Spirit that you, if you just walk in the Spirit, that is the Spirit that you have received. It is a walk in the Spirit to receive the Spirit. It is a receive, you have received the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, let me see if you got that clearly. Praise the Lord. So you've received the Spirit. Okay? Always get that. The word Spirit. So look at Galatians 5:24. So the fruit of the Spirit, where is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is where? Huh? The fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is in the Spirit. Right? So the fruit of the Spirit is where? And so where is the Spirit? So where is the fruit of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Now when you say in me, don't point to your belly. Hallelujah. Okay, in me, me. The word is in me. My stomach, in me. In me means the real you. The Spirit that you are. Alright? Not the in me, me. When we say me, when people are talking about Spirit, they're always like, my Spirit. It's always in the belly. Belly button. It's in you. Praise the Lord. That means it, you can say my Spirit and point to your leg. Isn't that true? Because your body, you didn't say your stomach is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? Come on. Are you following? If you said your stomach is the temple of the Holy Ghost, He says your body, praise the Lord, your ears, your nostrils, your chest, and every other thing we won't talk about. Amen. The temple of the Spirit. So the physical body is imbued with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Amen. So in Galatians 5, look at this. Galatians 5 again. Look at 24. It says, they that are Christ shall crucify the flesh. What is it?
Have.
What is have?
Have. Have.
See, I have crucified the flesh. Amen? With the affections and the laws. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, well, there is things. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. So why is it possible for us to walk in the Spirit? Because we live in the Spirit. Is that clear? We walk because we are. Not we are because we walk. But if you cannot walk, that means you are not. Hallelujah. You get that? Alright. Still there? Are you still there? We have a series like that, walking in the Spirit. Is it still existing? Don't you get it from walking in the Spirit. Thought it's several years back. Not several years back. 2007. That's not several. Just yesterday. So when we say the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to show you something in a moment. The fruit, look at Galatians 6. Now, if you read, now assuming you are one of those folks who leave scriptures out of context, and you go to Galatians 6. Are you saying? Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. So, that's a sermon on his own. But whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. That is New Testament karma. Lord karma. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Brethren, what are you sowing? Isn't that funny? What was the pretext of that statement? He was talking about helping other people. Kindness. Right? So, let's read the next verse. Oh, sorry, just the next verse says, oh, let's read the next verse. The next verse is a catcher. So it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall all the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall all the Spirit reap everlasting. Brethren, are you sowing to your flesh? And you call them brethren? If you read prior to now, it didn't say your flesh or his flesh. It says the flesh. And you have crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. The message is not sowing to the flesh. Let me say this quickly. Believers do not do that. Amen. It's only an unbeliever that has his flesh. That's a sinful nature. The believer is born of the Spirit. Alright? So if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Now, what is the Spirit? The Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. What's he talking about? Now, he had spoken earlier about the fruit of the Spirit. And he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gentleness, and he's mentioned that. So look at the next verse. Never leave the Bible out of, to make it say, you know, someone, you have what you want to say. You know, now, does it mean that Christians would do wrong stuff? You know, we will not get a judgment for that. There's a scripture for that, but not this one. This one is not what you need to use. Don't just be taking Bible verses to say what you want you to say. Just make a column. You know, just cite the Bible. Just cite it. According to, and when your audience are just as dull as you are, he hasn't read the verse. Amen. That's why, you know, you be careful. If someone is quoting many verses. Some people quote a lot and they quote out of context. I was in the service and man was quoting power. And he was quoting power all over the Bible. He said, power, power, I said, power, power. That's why power. And he went again and said, John 1:12. I said, as you see, then you get the power. You begin in power. And the congregation was about 10,000. Hey! Shit. He went again and said, Jesus said, I have given you power to the apostles, servants, and scorpions. The word there is exousia. There's dunamis, ability. There's exousia, privilege. Now, dunamis means if I say, I can, I have the ability to, you know, carry this chair, that means I can carry the chair. But if I say, I have the privilege, that's a different thing. If, for instance, no matter what you say, if they bring a big truck, they come and push it. And you read the word, you read the word dunamis as exousia. I have the privilege to push this car. You won't push it. That's why it's good to know the exact meaning of the word. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Alright, so what's he saying? And let us not be weary. Now, what was he talking prior to now? He was saying you should communicate in verse 6. He was asking them to give. Praise the Lord. To give. So he says, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Shall reap everlasting life. That's not past tense. Sorry, that's not future. That's past tense. Praise the Lord. Amen. By receiving the gospel, we are sown into the Spirit, and we have gotten the fruit of the Spirit. So based on that fact, the next verse says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. What's he talking about? Giving. Kindness. That's the context there. Amen. Hallelujah. You there? All right. Look at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians has where we are seated. Who we are. Ephesians 1, 22, 23 tells us that God, Christ has given all things to his church. Ephesians 2 says we are seated in verse 5 and 6 in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. The member of the body of Christ, you have access unto God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, you know, goes on and on and on. But chapter 4, verse 1 now says, therefore, walk worthy of the Lord, of the vocation wherewith you're called. It says to walk. It says to grow. Chapter 5 says to walk in love, verse 1 and 2. Right? Walk in love. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6, it says to walk in the light. Chapter 5, verse 6 is walking light. Chapter 6 says to be strong in the Lord, verse 10, power of his mind. Don't understand, stand. Chapter 6, verse 8 says, pray. Hallelujah. Why is it possible for you to pray, to stand, and to walk? Because you are seated in Christ. You have access to the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. So you are before you walk. So Ephesians, the classical book, first three chapters tell you who you are in Christ. What you have. You're seated in Christ. You're God's son. You have eternal life. But chapter 4 to 6 now says you've got to walk. You've got to stand. You've got to be strong. You've got to pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know some folks, you know, they preach and say, well, everything is about Jesus. Jesus is not praying for you. You got to pray for yourself. He's not. Jesus is studying the Bible for me now. It's all about you. It's all about. He's studying the Bible for me. Jesus is going for evangelism. If I say, all right, brother, I'm hungry. I need food. Sister, I need. She said, Jesus has done it for me. He has given you food. Isn't that so silly? If Jesus is walking in your life, you give the brother you need food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still there. So we are, that means we can walk. Praise the Lord. God made you so you can walk. This is 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul calls the saints of, he calls them saints of God, chapter 1 verse 2. Saints of God in Christ Jesus. In chapter 2, he says in verses 11 and 12, they have received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of this world, that they may know the things that are freely given to them of God. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says they're judged of no man. They have the mind of Christ. But in chapter 3, he says in their walk, they walk as mere men. Verse 3. You see that? So it's in the walk that believers differ. They walk as men who are not born again. There are a couple of Christians like that. They walk like they are not saved. They act like they don't have the Holy Spirit. So, all the instructions in the scriptures are not to save. They are to prompt the work of salvation. They're not to save you. Do this and do that, pray. All of those things are the work of the Spirit within you. And so the teachings and the instructions are for you to cooperate. None of those things is salvation. But all the walk and talk and prayer come from being saved. If you are not saved, you couldn't do those things. You don't do those things to be saved. You can do those things because you are saved. Your husbands love your wives. And I always get amazed when that's read to the whole world. That's to the church. The husband that can love his wife must be born again. The wife that must submit to her husband must be born again. Because as Christ loved the church. As the church is subject to Christ. Amen. It is as your great-grandfather is subject to you. Great-grandmother is subject to your great-grandfather. No. It gives you an object. Jesus Christ. Only Christians do that. Still there? Are you still there? That's why a whole lot of us, we've read a lot of materials from the world about marriage and husband and wife, and we'll always miss it because we're living in the flesh. You must take a hold of the Word of God and do what, because you see, what you do in your marriage is first and foremost serving Jesus. It's not about the man you're married to or the woman you're married to. It's about Jesus. Because sometimes your husband, your wife will do funny stuff. But now, it's what you do is for Jesus. It's to bring glory to Jesus. Not a Christian woman who slapped her husband. She did. Not once, not twice. He said she tussle with the man wasn't a Christian. So the man would say, stupid woman, she said, stupid man. She responded, fire for fire. And she said, what do I do? We were classmates in university. What do I do? I said, well, you're a Christian. What you said now, does it glorify Jesus? I know, but look, this is... God glorify Jesus. Amen. I'm not asking women who are abused by their husband to stay in the home. If I were to counsel anybody who's a woman abused by a husband, I ask her to separate so she'll stay alive to keep her marriage. Because it takes life to be married. If he has killed you, he's going to repent. Someday. Amen. And give a testimony. When I was in the world, I even killed my wife. Jesus says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Be wise. Remember that scripture? Praise the Lord. All right. So, but glorify Jesus. If you're the husband, glorify Jesus. Because sometimes we're so focused on the wife, forget the husband. Glorify Jesus. Amen. See that? So it's about Jesus. Not about you. Because why? The spirit in you is the spirit of Christ. I came to glorify Jesus. By glorifying. If you're going to walk with, how well is this out there? The new creation and his relationships. I taught you on all relationships. You and your boss. The boss and the employees. The employee, government and you. You know, I remember, can you remember that series now? Remember that? Get a hold of that. Alright? So you live like a Christian. Amen? Your workplace. Live like a Christian. Don't say, walk. No, right, you're a Christian, right? Allow the Holy Spirit to have free course in your life. Don't say, what? I'm a Christian. That's the answer to what? Amen. Alright, so the instructions are for you to walk in who you are and not to become somebody. It's to walk in what Jesus has already done for you. So let me say this. And I've seen this in many years of teaching. A few years of teaching, that people hardly can differentiate salvation from discipleship. So they always treat discipleship as salvation. Salvation is a definite once and for all work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Right? But it's an ongoing work, discipleship, where what Christ has done is now molded into our everyday life. Salvation means you've been given love. Salvation means you've been given peace. Salvation means that sin has not been under you. Salvation simply means you're righteous. Salvation means you have the Holy Spirit. Salvation means you have the life of God. But discipleship means you're going to walk in it. See that? But walking in it is because you already have it. Walking in it does not make it. I'm using every language I can. You already are. You will not become a Christian by walking in love, but you can only walk in love if you're a Christian. Always know that. There's always a distinction. The Bible points out and paints, and I told you in this series, don't put hell where the Bible hasn't put hell. Don't add hell to it. That's F-I-L. When Paul says, I shall be not a castaway after preaching unto others, castaway. You mean castaway to hell. You know, castaway to a fire. That's why people are so quick to say they have visions. And I've seen the devil play on people's emotions. They have so many funny dreams. Funny dreams, and they see their pastors and leaders in hell. They know their names. They see them clearly. By now, hell should have millions of people, but you picked out someone. How do you see the person? Seeing and knowing. You picked out. Hell has so many people. You just saw your pastor there. Or your brother in Christ you didn't like. I saw you. Where in hell? Were you there too? No, I stayed out. I saw him from an outside view, but I saw him. That is jackets that I used to wear. you see what happened? His Bible, man.
They have that faith on people's emotions. Amen. In fact, one of them, because someone was sharing a vision with us years ago. So he saw Satan at the left hand of God, you at the right hand. If he knew Bible, he wouldn't think that's what it means. So that vision would not have occurred at all. So Jesus was here, God the Father was like. Satan is talking. His son. So man was born again now comes. Hey. What do you have to say? I'm sorry. Satan says, no. I cannot take it. Either. And I just go, the man who had that vision, at length he collapsed and fainted. That's the kind of vision you have when you collapse and faint. You know. Then he said that Jesus, was he him or someone else? He said, when he discovered how Lucifer was created, and he looked at the makings of the New Jerusalem, he said, 2/3 of the gold used to make new, he said, brethren, I was there. He said, brethren, 2/3 of the gold to make New Jerusalem. They're already with the devil. Really, let us pray. They said that will not take control in heaven. I'm not joking now. Looks ridiculous, but that's just the way it is. Ridiculous. Praise God. You get it? Some people believe stuff like that. One old man going to a village, he's on in the bus. What do you think is going on? Old man? You have an old Bible here, you don't believe it? You believe old man? The old man says, Jesus was coming on the 14th. Remember? As he wanted to step out like that, he held his peace. Because he has not been around the earth for a while. So he said, is he what's going on? America is legislating gay rights. Nigeria corruption. Who is worse? I don't know. So he says, I'm going to destroy force before I come. Because I'm angry. So we have sort of visions like that. I see Jesus in the scriptures. Whatever Jesus you had when you finished the bull of Eber and had a dream is your business. The Jesus I believe is in the scriptures. I believe the scriptures. Hallelujah. No matter what you saw, you're about to see. Or you're seeing already. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Hallelujah. Still there? One woman had one. I think she said, the video is on my iPad. Just to laugh, you know. When you're tired, you're listening. You know, some things are just good, like Alibaba, you know. Jesus was about to blow the trumpet. The angel was about to blow the trumpet. Said Jesus was about to step out. She held his hand. Jesus. That's Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, for your sake. For your sake. I won't do this. Hallelujah. One day I'm gonna put those videos together, show it in church. We just have a nice time. Maybe not too soon, but when I get a number of them, I'm sure I'm gonna show it, and we just laugh over it. And sometimes because you have fun in church, just laughing. You know, in church you just have a nice time. Praise God. Sometimes we get too serious, but when you hear things, I just laugh. That's a funny Jesus, you know. It's always good. Praise the Lord. Still there? Alright. So let's quickly look at some things that we need to clear quickly. And that's rewards. When you hear the word rewards in crown, always know
Now, we've done some in this series that salvation is not a reward. After you have lived your life for God, then you are saved. And you won't be saved by grace that you saved. Through faith. You will say, well, by your works you will be saved. By grace are you saved simply means by grace are you saved. Through faith. Not of your own selves. Not of works. As any man should be. Amen. So listen carefully. How many of you will be rewarded for salvation? Nobody is rewarded for salvation. Because there was nothing that God asked of you in salvation. Except your sins. Alright? So salvation is not a reward. And nobody is rewarded for being saved. Let me see if that's clear to you. Is that clear to you? Alright. So let's read portions of the Bible where the word reward. Now you see the word rewards and then crown. For instance, if you read the, I've heard people say, you know the parable of talents? Remember? 5, 1, 5, and 10. Say, depart, and they say, depart from me, unprofitable servant. I don't get that. What's the talent? One salvation. 5 salvations and 10 salvations. So the one that had one salvation that multiplied or kept his salvation in the bank, to get 10 salvations. The one with 5 salvations should at least increase his own. Did increase his own to 10 salvations. So the one with 10 salvations increased his own salvation to 20 salvations. So one man, 20 salvations. One man. Don't forget. Again, Jesus gives different salvation. I just give you one salvation according to your ability. So you will get the salvation according to your ability. That means you are shedding your blood too. Your blood count is low. So you get one salvation. But guy full of blood. Some guys are fasting, they have no blood really. You are fasting your 5 salvations. The other guy says, well, he's looking holy this morning, so you get 10 salvations. Alright? So that's what I was saying. We say this song, happy birthday. Yes, we love you. God be with you till the end of time. May he say, well done. Something wrong with your hair. That's what we got it from. May he say, well done. I didn't sing that song for me. I said, yeah, teach you more. How can talent be salvation? Or, okay, it's not salvation. It's not salvation. If you're a singer, sing so that you can be saved. If you're a bowler, go to the right club. What do you want to say about that? Use your talent. Me, my talent is boxing. Use it. Use your talent. That one talent God gave you. That's your ticket to heaven. Use your talent well. See? So it's not making sense, right? Why is it not making sense? But that's the interpretation we've given to it. So, see, what are you doing with your boxing skills? I was working in love. You should have been world heavyweight champion. Depart from me to everlasting destruction. Go and punch there. This doesn't make sense, right? Alright. So don't interpret it as salvation. That's just why I said all I said. Amen? It's simply a reward for faithfulness. And Jesus was simply teaching faithfulness by using an earthly example. A parable is using the natural to explain the spiritual, a And no parable is ever perfect, because oftentimes in a parable you just pick one or two words. That's all. Amen. He that is faithful in little shall be given much. Those are simple. In ministry, we're faithful with little, we do more. That's just basically what it is. And so in the, if you begin to look at the parable of talent, if I'm going to use the parable of talent, for instance, and talk about ministry, what will be cast into fire will be the works of the man and not the man. Because that is not salvation. Is that clear? Praise the Lord. Does that make sense? Amen. Good. Alright, so if you look at the word reward, Hebrews 10 talks about reward. Don't forget, will there be rewards in heaven? Sure. Each man will live in his reward. Is that okay? Each man will live in his reward. That is, what you have gotten is yours. You live in your reward. Hebrews 10. Now, he's talking about persecution here. It's a call to remembrance, the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured. Hebrews 10:32, a great fight of affliction. That's not salvation. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. So he's not talking about the Jews there. Alright, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of rewards. Not great recompense of salvation, great recompense of reward. Of reward of what? Endurance. Holding on in affliction. Fighting the good fight of faith. He said there's a reward for Christians who endure. Amen. He didn't say there's salvation for Christians who endure, because they're already saved. It's a reward for enduring. Reward for walking in the Spirit. Reward, yeah, there's a reward for living for Jesus. The reward for it. So that reward is an enduring substance. Now that means something. Every believer will live in his reward in him. You live in your reward. So just as your salvation is eternal, your works are eternal. Amen. Sit quiet now. They are eternal. You will live in your reward. And for the man who has done nothing in the body of Christ, he will live in a loss. And if the Bible says you shall suffer loss, you will suffer loss. It's the same, it's a strong word. You will suffer loss. You won't be destroyed with unbelievers, definitely. But you will not have a reward to live in. Nothing to live in. Nothing to walk with. He didn't save you, so you can't be your savior. So let me say quickly this. This quickly. And this is important. It's only God that can unsave a man. The man cannot unsave himself because God is the savior. It's only God that can unsave a man. But God gave his word, you know, by saying Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know if you can count on that promise. Okay. So he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That is salvation. Salvation means what? God will never leave me and God will never forsake me. Alright? That's salvation. So, hear this now. You cannot unsave yourself. The only person that can undo the work of salvation is the one who did it. But you have his promises. You have his word. You have his faithfulness. But he will not. He has given Jesus as a proof, as your living intercessor. He has given you his spirit. Alright? And he has given you his promise. Are you still there? Alright. And listen carefully. You cannot keep, because you are not always faithful. You are not always doing the right things. So he has a faithful high priest. Who has no sin, will not sin, cannot sin, is alive forevermore to back up everything that he has done for us. If you were to count on us to keep salvation, some of you have lost it the very day. That very day. From your thoughts, your words, your actions. You know, sin starts from your thought. Let me say, the very existence of man is sinful. Without saying anything. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9. Lost quickly now. First Corinthians 9:27. Read that earlier. Paul says, I keep my body, I keep under my body. Is that salvation? Huh? But that is the work of salvation. I bring it into subjection. That is the work of salvation. Lest by any means when I have preached unto others, so he's saved already, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway means disqualified. Disqualified from what? Read it earlier. Read it. Verse 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me, as it were better for me to die than any man should make my glory void. Let's take 16 together. Let's go. For though I preach the gospel, I have... everybody, let's go. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Watch it. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. What is the woe? The next verse. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Right, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. That's what he was talking about. If I abuse my power in the gospel, I will lose my reward. I won't lose my salvation, but I'll lose my reward. Let me see how that's clear to you. Come on. Is that clear to you? Excellent. So that's not salvation. That is reward. In James 1, James chapter 1, I love that old song. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Now that's not salvation. But the roll of men who have lived for Christ, I'll be there. Mention Abraham. Amen. David. They begin to mention Paul, John, hallelujah, Stephen, Philip. They ought to mention your name. Hallelujah. Not with saved. Saved. Yeah, saved. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Are you still there? Let's go. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Temptation from sin. Now. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. The crown of life. Them that love him is not salvation. Praise the Lord. But there's a reward. Amen. For living for God. For living for Christ. Enduring temptation and tests and trials of your faith. There's a reward for it. And don't forget, the reward is not on earth. So when we see people who are blessed materially, they are rich and prosperous, that's not the reward. The reward is in eternity. Hallelujah. Is that clear? You get that? That's the reward. He's not on earth. Amen. And the reward is not salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. What's he talking about? Read the previous verse. He said, for I am now ready to be offered unto me at the time of my departure at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Hallelujah. That's not salvation. So there's a crown of righteousness for those who do God's will for their lives, who fulfill their ministry. Have you observed that rewards are given for ministry? Things you do in the body of Christ. Things you do for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God for salvation. Thank God also for the works of salvation. We can live for Jesus. Amen. If you're a student, you can live for Jesus on your campus. Hallelujah. And have a good testimony. Remember one day, I was writing my final year exams in my final year in the faculty of law. And you know, there was this guy, this lady and guy. The guy was an assistant pastor of a fellowship, and the lady was also a leader in the fellowship. And they were caught cheating. My, I felt like the ground should open up and swallow me literally. What? And they were cheating, and they were smiling. They were smiling and when they were caught. I said, wow, it's a bad testimony. Why should you be cheating? Just a week after I was writing my company law exams. And then I was talking in tongues or something. Remember, then the lecturer said, get up. I said, I don't cheat. I can never. The man was shocked because students usually don't talk like that. So folks in the class look back and they, oh, that guy. Just beautiful. You guys have seen me after the exam. So you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. So he said, yes, a Christian. You're a true Christian. Keep your faith. The man was not a Christian. Live for God. Hallelujah. Live for Christ. If you're a businessman, live for Christ. Glory to God. There's a reward for it. If all the reward you get is on earth, the Bible says that we're of all men hopeless. The life after now, where what you have done in the body, you will receive the reward. Amen. You're quiet now. Praise the Lord. Paul says to fulfill God. So I say, well, for now I don't want to do the work of ministry. I know I'm called to preach the gospel, but I need money. I need to marry and have children. I need to travel abroad. I'm going to pay £3,000 no matter what. I'm going to pay £3,000. I'm going to the UK. I'm moving out of this country. And I say, but brother, you have a fellowship where, Mushi, when I'm called to Hillsborough in the UK, I can Mushi anymore. I'm going to, so you leave the fellowship and get to the UK looking for church. So you find Christ for all backsliders of all nations, international church. And you walk in that place, and then you used to be a preacher here, you used to heal the sick. Then you be behind the microphone.
Jesus. Jesus.
You are a disgrace. You are a castaway. You didn't have to have sang unto others. You have to preach unto others. Amen. You got to preach unto others. You preach to the whole world. And then you are living the work of the gospel because of money. You got to endure. Because there is a great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. For everyone who has died for the sake of the gospel. For everyone who has suffered loss for the sake of the gospel. Nothing goes unrewarded. God is not forgetful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for those living in opulence and enjoyment, and say, look, for now. You know, one guy said, when I was young, I used to do both evangelism. I remember those days. His stomach was already big. Greater is he that was in him. He was like this. I used to go for evangelism. When I was young, you know. those days. I said, look at this idiot. What do you think you're talking about? You're talking about the greatest work on earth. The work of saving lives from eternal damnation. So you are growing a stomach over that? Oh my God. Someday you will empty that stomach. And you will be with you, whatever you have done. You will discover that your checkbook does not go to heaven. Your cars will not follow. Your works will follow you. The things you've done, whether they are good or bad, you are saved. You'll be in heaven. We'll be together, but not in the same area. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You know, people do distinction on earth. You have MD's office. You have, If God wants to do distinction, you need to be very clear. You don't know? If God wants to do distinction, it will be so clear. Hallelujah.
You say, so this brother didn't live for God. He didn't live for God. So where he is?
He's just strolling around everywhere. Always taking a stroll. Why are you taking a stroll? Hey. He's not praying in tongues vigorously. He's trying to do evangelism, everybody is saved. He wants to pray, pray for what? Live in your rewards. Hallelujah. Are you still in church? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5. We read that earlier. Whether the things are good or bad, verse 10, you will receive the things you've done in the body. 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, when you refuse to walk in love, alright, you sin against Christ and His word. I tell people, walking in love sometimes means you won't insist on what you know. This is some Christian ladies. They dress like unbelievers. And you tell them, sister, are you aware you can lead another person to sin? Let the person close his eyes. Well, you will open yours in heaven. Amen. Don't live like a Christian. Dress like a Christian. Amen. Be modest. Bible says be modest. Bible says be chaste. Praise the Lord. When you're chaste, you're modest. And you dress with self-control, you have a reward. Amen. But if you dress like Beyonce, or Lady Gaga. Come on. Who else? You will get a Gaga. Hallelujah. Everything has an effect in eternity. Faith in Christ. Salvation in eternity. Living for Christ. Reward in eternity. Are you following me this morning? Come on, church. Are you following me? Galatians, Hebrews 6:11 again. Run quickly. Hebrews 6:11. So great salvation. Hebrews 6. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That's not salvation. Which you have showed towards His name. How? How? In that you create an NGO and you are giving to people on your street. No, no, no. You have ministered to the saints and you still minister. Hallelujah. He will reward things you do. For that is why I prefer help. Someone was telling me, he said, you're a businessman. I said, in business, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Believers, they will buy you. I know that. One thing is clear. It's an opportunity to walk in love. Amen. When I treat believers right, I'm going to be rewarded in heaven. Hallelujah. So don't apply Christians into your organization. The law of business principle 4, according to Bill Gates, an atheist, Warren Buffett, don't employ people familiar to you. Principle 1. Principle 2. Have a distinction between business money and another. They have their reward. Bible says, do good unto all men, especially those of the house of the faith. Hallelujah. If I do an interview today, and I see two people, Christian is the least qualified, non-believer is very qualified, I'll take the Christian. That's not commercially correct. You're correct. That's spiritually correct. Some tough word, right? Because you got a minister to his saints. He says, if you see any one of my brethren who is hungry, he didn't say he's hungry because he's wasteful of his food, but he's hungry. He's in prison. He's in prison. So you treat me like that. You get him, I say, well, no. You were never hungry, you are blessed. Well, that fellow in your church, my buddy. when you walked away from him and refused to give him a job, give him money, you walked away from him.
Lord, you have told me, now you have spoken through him.
All right, I spoke through my word. Amen. Some hard stuff, right? You treat Christians first. You do tutorials for people in your class. Muslims, you ignore Christians so that you can pass more than they do. No, but you get the earthly reward in your degree. When you get to heaven, your degrees won't follow you. What you have done for is saints that will stand. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Are you still there? All right, good. You have a reward for doing things rightly. That's not talking about salvation, because he told you salvation is anchored upon the finished work of Jesus, verse 19 and 20. And God won't lie. Amen. It's impossible for him to lie, verse 18. Salvation is the anchor of our soul, is what Jesus has done before the Father. We must minister to his saints. 1 Corinthians 15. Rush quickly now. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you getting out of this? 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Tell anybody, be steadfast. Steadfast means steadfast. Last week you came to church 7:40. This week 7:90. Or 7:90. 8:30. Why? You are not being steadfast. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding where? In the work. That's not salvation. In the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's a bad translation. The word there is not in material things, earthly things. So your labor is not to get earthly things in the Lord, it's eternal. Your labor in the Lord is not in earthly things, vain things. It's an eternal thing. The labor for the Lord is in eternal things. Hallelujah. 2 John. We'll close here now. 2 John. 2 John now. 2 John. Hallelujah. 2 John. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What's he talking about? Whosoever transgresses and abides under the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you anybody and brings unto you not this doctrine, receives him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that deeds in God's deed is partaker of his evil deeds. That means your refusal to accept false teachers and false doctrine has a reward. I'm not going to take this from you. No way. No way. Some of us go ahead and marry people that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't beat him God's deed. So else you lose your full reward. So for resisting false doctrine, there's a reward. Hallelujah. Say, I'm saved. Say, I'm saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. Hallelujah. Say, I walk worthy of my salvation. Say, I show the fruits of my salvation. I walk in the Spirit because I'm saved. I walk in love because I'm saved. I demonstrate the glory and the virtue of my salvation in Christ. It's not to be saved, but it's to be rewarded. I choose not to lose my reward in Christ. I will not lead anyone astray in Christ. I will do good. I'll be kind. I'll be steadfast, immovable in the work of the Lord. Worship Jesus. Give him praise. Thank you. Say, be saved.